Blog Talk Radio.
Attention, Army Wives, fall in. You've come to the right place. Army Wife Talk Radio is the leading and longest running podcast of its kind, providing the latest reports, stories, interviews, and more to encourage and empower you on your military spouse journey. For Army Wives, by Army Wives. Now, here are your hosts, the Army Wife Network core team.
Welcome to the show. I'm your host, Sherita Knobloch. Today is Monday, July 29th, 2019, and this is show number 696. We are so excited to be back with you after taking a few short weeks off for summer leave. We are now refreshed and ready to add another great episode to our AWTR archives as the leading and longest-running podcast of its kind.
And I'm your co-host, Brittany O'Keefe. Tonight, we'll be chatting with an individual who is continuing quite the legacy, chairman and CEO of the Fisher House Foundation, Ken Fisher. In this role, Ken heads the third-generation leadership team of one of the country's most successful family-owned real estate development and management companies. The Fisher House Foundation continues to receive exceptional marks and awards for this service. You can connect with the Fisher House on social media, via Facebook at Fisher House, on Instagram at Fisher House FDTN, on Twitter at Fisher House FDTN, or at Ken Fisher FHF, and on LinkedIn at the Fisher House Foundation.
Also tonight, our new six Mandy will share an encouraging story about the ever-developing method of pet therapy to help victims of PTSD heal and cope, specifically through the organization Paws of War. If you're listening to our show live right now, the AWN core team is hanging out on Twitter, and we'd love to chat with you. Send us a tweet at ArmyWife Network and use the hashtag ArmyWife to participate in the conversation. Links to all the resources we mentioned tonight during this broadcast will be posted in our Twitter feed, in the comments section below the show, on our Facebook page, and below this podcast on blogtalkradio.com/AWTR.
Tonight's show is brought to you by our AWTR show sponsor, One Natural Way. Every expecting mom is busy preparing for baby, but military moms often face unique challenges all on their own. That's why One Natural Way specializes in making it easy for military families to get a breast pump and breastfeeding supplies, as well as personalized support. Only One Natural Way can offer a no-upgrade fee on any Medela or Spectra breast pump, a customizable monthly supply program, and free lactation consultation to ensure breastfeeding success. One Natural Way has helped thousands of military families throughout their breastfeeding journey. See how they can help you by visiting www.onenaturalway.com with the number one to get started today.
Well, listeners, Brittany and I were talking beforehand, and we were just thinking how cool it is that we can all connect in one spot. And so we are 7,000 miles apart right now, Brittany and I. So if you guys hear any kind of delay on her end, that's why, because she's calling in from Korea tonight. So, Brittany, on that note, tell me what's been going on on your side of the globe with your Army Wife life.
Well, it is the middle of monsoon season in Korea right now, so that means it's always rainy and cloudy and super humid and super hot. And let's see here. Well, just recently we got back from 10 days of leave and we went to Japan, and that was super, super fun.
Nice. What were your highlights from your trip? Yeah.
We went to the city of Osaka, which is maybe the third largest city in Japan. And let me tell you, if you are a foodie, If you like Japanese cuisine, Osaka is the city to go because they're known as, like, the kitchen of Japan or, like, the stomach of Japan because it's just, they really, really do pride themselves on their food, and you could tell. And everything there was delicious. And then we took, after a few days, we spent one day in Kyoto, which is the old capital of Japan. So the city has just a ton of history and culture and just tons of old buildings and shrines everywhere. Absolutely beautiful city in Kyoto. And then we unfortunately only could spend a day and a night there. I would have loved to stay longer. And then after that, we took the bullet train and rode to Tokyo, where we finished out the rest of our vacation. And once again, this is our second time visiting Tokyo, so I felt a lot more comfortable there this time. And it was really, really awesome. I loved it. It was such a great vacation, and I didn't want to come back.
That's usually the trouble with vacation. Like, you love going and doing all the things, you know, and then if there's kind of some comfort of, like, coming home. But, you know, it's always also kind of hard at the same time. So we've been traveling, too, and it's funny, like, you're traveling all over Asia, essentially, and we traveled a lot, too, but we literally never left the state of Texas. So, on our, yeah, because, I mean, obviously Texas is huge, and you really don't know how huge it is until you're driving across it. Like, at one point, we were driving back from, because we live in El Paso, obviously, and we were driving back, and we were driving for hours, because we went to Padre for a while. We dropped the kids off, because it was post-deployment, so we got, you know, we did some family traveling and adventuring, and then for the first time since we started having tiny humans, my husband and I got, like, more than a weekend together, so we literally just adulted the entire time. We're like, look at us eat food with two hands and, like, sleep until we wake up and not have to buckle anyone in the car seat. But as we were coming back across Texas, the six-year-old asked from the back seat, "Mom, what state are we in?" And I was like, "Honey, we've been driving for 8 hours. I'm sorry. We're still in Texas." And then the two-year-old looks out the window, and he's just like, "Ohio?" And I was like, "What? We've never even been to Ohio. Why do you think we're in Ohio?" Like, okay, no, we're not in Ohio, still in Texas, but, yeah, so we got to, I don't know where they come up with stuff, got to travel, which was a lot of fun, really great, and then, we came back, and it's like, "Oh, hey, what's up, reintegration, good to see ya, welcome to the party." So, that's where we're at right now, is the reintegration phase of all things deployment.
Yeah. So, like, what does that entail, reintegration?
Yeah, I think, of course, it's different for everyone. And this is this is my husband's fifth deployment, our third one together as a couple, but our first one with both tiny humans in existence. And so, the getting back on board with both of us parenting, like, in a united way is just challenging because we just, you know, view the world a little differently, and I've been in, like, kind of survival mode for 9 months of, like, yeah, you can have mac and cheese and chicken nuggets for the fourth night in a row for supper, you know, and he's like, "We should come up with some structure," and I'm like, "It's fine." So just, like, working through that, you know, in the communication piece, like, it's we talk. Here's an example, and it's really humorous now. It wasn't humorous on Saturday, and it's humorous now. But my husband and I talked about getting our son a haircut, 2-year-old. And I was like, "Okay, cool." Brian's like, "I can do it." I was like, "All right." We talked about a number two, so, like, with the clippers, number two, and, like, a taper at the top, kind of like a military haircut. And so, cool, we're tracking. We get back Saturday, and my son gets out of the bathtub, and he has no hair. And I was like, "What happened? Why is he bald? This was not part of the no plan." So that was That's reintegration in a nutshell. Son having no hair when you thought he would still have hair. And it'll grow back. It's not a big deal. It's cool. But I was just like, what are we doing? I'm confused. So that's where we're at. It's never boring. There's always good stories that come from Army Wife Life. That's one of the great things about it is, you know, I don't think anybody can ever say, gosh, Army Wife Life is just boring. Nothing exciting happening. I'm like, hey, come to our house. Might get your head shaved. You never know. Step right up.
Right. And hopefully some really good pictures came with that, too.
Yes. After I started, you know, using words again like an adult and not just being, like, stuttering. So, well, I know that, Burton, you and I could chat all night because that's one of our favorite things. But let's go ahead and we're going to jump to a break really quick. And right when we come back, we will go ahead and hear from our News 6 Wendy. Stay tuned and we'll be back in just a moment.
We're more connected than ever before. 90% of America's students use some form of social media, but not all of it's used in a good way. Hurtful posts online are leading to social isolation for many. Psychologists say it's bullying in a brand new way. Well, Beyond Differences and I Keep Safe are looking to change that with ideas for students, their parents, and even teachers. Take the pledge to be kind online and learn more at wearekindonline.com.
Our life, our family, our soldier. News you can use. Now with our headlines, it's time for your Army Wife Talk Radio Live News 6 report.
Welcome back, listeners. We have our News 6 Mandy on the line, bringing us your need-to-know news. Hey, Mandy, what do you have for us this week?
Hello, hello. Well, as we know, PTSD is prevalent in the lives of many military members and veterans, and one way that service members are dealing with that is through an organization called Pause of War. Recently, three U.S. veterans who suffer from PTSD have sought support through pet therapy through dogs.
Well, I think that's really interesting. So can you give us a little more details about the therapy dogs and, like, some of the types of ways they help people with PTSD?
Yeah, sure, Brittany. So the service dogs actually help in many ways. They can be trained to provide a buffer zone between their humans and others. They can recognize repetitive motions, alert to the approach of someone from behind. They can guard their humans to a safe place, turn on lights in a dark room, and interrupt nightmares, and several other important tasks.
Well, I've heard a lot as I've been studying, you know, specifically this topic and, you know, with my education that I'm slowly working towards with counseling and therapy. Obviously, it does sound like these therapy dogs really can assist the service members to deal with all those situations, but can you tell us a little bit more specifically about how they've helped those U.S. veterans that you mentioned at the very beginning of your report?
Yeah, absolutely. So here's what Harry Stahlberg, he's a 42-year-old former Marine who served in Bosnia, Liberia, and Nigeria. This is what he told military.com about his 3-year-old dog named Rocky. So he says that the biggest thing that is that he wakes me up from my nightmares. He can open the door, come in my room, turn on the lights, take my blinders off me, and lick my hands so I wake up. And Rocky also helps Stahlberg navigate large crowds, which can be a trigger for his PTSD. Stahlberg says that if I can't move, he will get me out of that crowd, pick up on that. He will walk around me and look at it, and if I don't respond, he will walk away from the crowd with me hooked up to him. So another example is Michael Kidd. He's now 84 years old. He fought in the Korean War. His young German Shepherd, Millie, helps calm him down when things start to swirl, usually at night. Kidd has also been able to reduce his intake of medication thanks to Millie. And Kidd says that at night when things are tough, she will come over to me. She will put her paw on my shoulder, on my chest, and just give me a big slobber, says Kid.
Aw, that's so sweet. And I've always wondered something. I always wondered, like, what was the training process for all the therapy dogs?
So in this particular case, it takes about 18 to 24 months to teach the dogs what to do when a troubled veteran sends distress signals, said Rebecca Stromsky, who is a senior trainer at Paws of War, and her husband also served in Afghanistan and Kuwait. She says that it's quite a process, actually, creating a mutual respect and a connection between the service dude and the service dog. And once the foundations are in place and the dog starts feeling if things are going well or not for the veterans, they start to do certain motions when the guys are fidgeting, Stromsky explains. I can start and cue that behavior and use that as an alert.
So what is so special about these dogs involved with Paws of War in addition to being utilized as therapy dogs and companions?
So what's really awesome, and I love this so much, is that the dogs that Paws of War train are actually shelter dogs. So their training process starts with them finding the right dogs from shelters and adoption agencies across the country. And they find dogs that are in need of a home but also have certain skills and criteria that are present in a skilled service dog.
Well, that's like a really great way to help out service members and also, you know, help those dogs that are in need too. So is there a cost for service members to utilize the program?
So Brittany, another awesome thing about this organization is that there is no cost to a veteran for the service dogs. Paws of War raises, trains, and places the dogs free of charge.
Sounds like a very worthy cause and a very noble mission. Therefore, how can listeners learn more or support this cause?
So listeners, to find out more information, you can visit www.pawsofwar.com. And on their website, you can discover how a veteran can take advantage of this great program and other programs that they offer. And there's also information on volunteering, donation, and fundraising for Paws of War.
Thank you so much for this empowering story, Mandy. We really appreciate it. Now, Brittany, let's see what's been hot on AWN since we've been on our summer leave vacation.
Well, first off, on hot on AWN is an encouraging blog written by our very own core team member and blog editor, Sarah Peachy. It's called Construct Your Independence, with the IN part written in parentheses. Sarah writes, "We're called dependents, but we're so much more. It's so easy to get comfortable being a spouse and a parent, and there isn't anything wrong with that. Our service members need our support. It doesn't take long to figure that out in military life, but I always try to remind people there's a you here too. When I meet new spouses, I enjoy shifting the conversation from where they lived and what their husband does or details of their husband's career or their children and turn the conversation to the spouse. What you did or what you do for work? What are your favorite things to do? What have you traveled in the last year? Are there any organizations or causes that are important to you? You'd be amazed at the number of times I've watched their faces light up." She goes on to discuss terms and questions surrounding what makes mill spouses who they are beyond a dependent to, including values, interests, temperaments, around-the-clock activities, life goals, missions, and more. If you are looking to be encouraged and construct your own independence, pop over to our blog and check out Sarah's article at armywifenetwork.com/construct-your-independence. So, Sherita, how do you construct your independence beyond the military spouse title?
That's a great question. As I've been thinking about that, I guess I completely identify with what Sarah wrote about in her article. Like, when people start asking questions about me and my mission beyond the male spouse dependent title, I really do get so excited. Obviously, working with Army Wife Network is one that really gets me jazzed up. And while my title as a male spouse kind of opens that door for me, I feel like it goes so much beyond that. You know, I love working with all you gals on the core team and writing and organizing, and you all know my very odd desire and love of the color-coded spreadsheet schedules. And so those are some of the things that really get me jazzed up, you know, that brings me beyond, you know, my husband is awesome, and of course I love him to death. You know, but I'm not just First Sergeant's wife. I'm not just the mom to the kids. You know, I'm Sherita Gwen Knobloch, and I do stuff, and I'm a certified auctioneer, and I wore duct tape to prom, and I just love telling those stories, and I love hearing other people's stories too. So, Brittany, what about you? What's your independent story?
Well, before I answer that, you know, one day in the future, you might have to let me hear your auctioneer voice. I always thought that was so cool, like how quickly they talk.
I'm pretty sure that is in a Blog Talk Radio archive podcast, because I feel like a year or two ago, we had core team members on as guests for a brief season, and I'm pretty sure I auctioneered on the air. So I'll look that up and let you know for another day.
Okay.
So, yes, that's the thing. I don't know. But yeah, Brittany, tell me about your independence.
To answer your question, of course, Army Wife Network comes up a lot, and, you know, I think people find it really interesting that, you know, we do a podcast, that, you know, we do it live on air, like, every week, and that, mm-hmm. you know, sometimes I'm a part of that. People really are, like, blown away by that. And also, you know, I do the graphic design work for AWN, and I also do some freelance work of my own. So, you know, I definitely love talking about art and design. And I know that, you know, independence, we were talking about, you know, what do we do that's, you know, that doesn't involve our spouse? Well, I mean, I guess I'm breaking a rule here where actually my husband and I do a separate podcast together. We love video games. We like retro video games, you know, good old original Nintendo and Sega Genesis and stuff like that. So, you know, I could talk all day about video games and our podcast and all of the crazy things we do regarding that. So, you know, that's how I find my independence. It's typically through, like, making things, you know, art and design, and also playing and talking about video games, believe it or not. So, you know, those are the things I kind of use to define me, who I am.
Right. So I guess, like, the key for our male spouse independence is, you know, we're just kind of nerds in our own right. Like, you do the video game talking, I do the spreadsheets. But hey, man, makes us who we are. And we're good at it. So I say we embrace that for sure. But as you were mentioning, you were talking about graphic design. And so for our social media roundup this week, we had an extremely popular graphic on our Facebook page. And this is what it said. Duty stations may come and go, but PCS stickers last forever. And I laughed at it, not only because it's true for us, because I'm looking at our dresser here, and I'm pretty sure it's got, like, an orange sticker and a green sticker and maybe a yellow sticker on the back. But a lot of other military spouses could relate, too. It was widely shared, and I really think the thing that really pushed it over the top was the detailed illustration of the graphic. It really brought it home. And, of course, Brittany, that was all you.
Aw, thank you.
Yay.
Oh, there's applause.
There is applause. I have been wanting... Okay. That was really enthusiastic. I like it. I've been wanting to use that soundbite for, like, 3.5 years. So that was slightly selfishly motivated. But really, all that applause was for you, Brittany, because you nailed it with that graphic. So, listeners, if you get the chance, go ahead and follow our link to the graphic on the Facebook page and read through the comments, because they are fantastic. One of our followers even commented and that she made a charm that for her charm bracelet that looks like a PCS sticker with the lot number and everything. So fantastic.
Wow.
Yeah, nailed it. But listeners, be sure to stay tuned because after a quick break, we'll be chatting with the chairman and the CEO of the Fisher House Foundation, Ken Fisher. We'll be right back.
Wayne Brady for the Will Rogers Institute.
Hey, folks, I've got something that will truly revolutionize your life. It's called exercise. It will get you from here to there, allow you to spend time with your family and meet new people, cut inches from your waistline, and improve the quality of your life, even help improve your self-image.
Sexy.
So when you've got to choose between moving around or lying on the couch, choose exercise. You won't be sorry.
For your free booklet, visit WRinstitute.org or call toll-free 877-957-7575 and find us on Facebook and Twitter.
Via Army Wife Network. ArmyWifeNetwork.com has a limited number of sponsorship opportunities available. Visit ArmyWifeNetwork.com/sponsorship or email us at info@ArmyWifeNetwork.com for details.
Welcome back to Army Wife Talk Radio. I'm Sherita Knobloch.
And I'm Brittany O'Keefe. Joining us tonight as our guest is Ken Fisher, a business leader and philanthropist with a passion for serving those who have served our country. Ken currently serves as chairman and CEO of Fisher House Foundation and is honored to work with military service members, veterans, and their families. In this role, he carries on the legacy of his great uncle, Zachary Fisher, and oversees a network of 84 Fisher houses throughout the United States, the United Kingdom, and in Germany.
Under Ken's leadership, the foundation has consistently been recognized for its success and high standards of accountability. The foundation is one of a few to hold an A-plus rating from CharityWatch.org and has received a perfect 4-star rating from Charity Navigator for 15 consecutive years. The foundation has also received the Independent Charity Seal of Excellence and is part of the Combined Federal Campaign. Ken also serves as co-managing partner of Fisher Brothers. In this role, Ken heads the third-generation leadership team of one of the country's most successful family-owned real estate development and management companies. Welcome to the show, Ken.
Thank you for having me.
No problem. We're excited. Before we jump into our interview, I mentioned this early, and I don't think you were quite on the air yet. You might have noticed that there's a slight delay when Brittany is chatting with us, and she's calling from South Korea. So if you hear a little bit of silence, a little pause, that's the cause for it. So we appreciate your patience with that.
Not at all.
Awesome. All right. Well, let's get started. So, Ken, can you describe for our listeners what Fisher House Foundation is and what its mission is?
Well, the mission of Fisher House is to honor service and sacrifice, not only of the man or woman wearing the uniform, but their families, too. And so how the way Fisher House does that is we provide comfort homes at major military and VA hospitals around the world for families to stay in while their loved one is receiving treatment at a hospital for no charge for as long as they need to. As long as they need to stay there, the house is available. They get into a room, there'll be no charge for it. And we've been doing this now since 1990, so almost 30 years.
Wow. That is, what an incredible mission. I have several really good friends that have benefited from you all's generosity in your mission, you know, when they're experiencing a difficult life season and someone is hospitalized for an extended amount of time. Like, you know, I've taken meals to the Fisher House to help out some of those families. So thank you so much for following through with that calling.
Well, thank you for doing that. It's so important that these families you know that they have support. We have great community and base support through volunteers and so forth that really play a major role in helping our Fisher House managers take care of sometimes as many as 20 families in one house. So that can be challenging. So the volunteers, the people that come forward to help out, really make a big difference in the lives of these families.
Yeah, so tell us a little bit more specifically about your role with the foundation.
Well, I started not when the foundation was founded. It was founded, as I said, in 1990. And in those days, I really was not aware of what I am aware of now. And it was only through Zach's passing in 1999 that the family got together and had to make a big decision, because Zach mm-hmm. Fisher had started so many different initiatives, not only for servicemen and women, but for their families, that we kind of had to figure out how to keep it all going. And so I originally started out as a vice chairman and then became chairman around 2002-2003 time frame, which was a very challenging time because obviously it was post 9/11. So now I am the chairman and the CEO of Fisher House. I have been so for about 20 years, and I don't imagine stepping down anytime soon.
Well, that is good news for everybody who has flourished under your leadership, which I'm sure is a lot of people and a lot of military families have benefited. So clearly, the Fisher House has quite a legacy that it's set up over the years, and with the third generation leadership experience. And so tell us a little bit more, like expand on that, about the history of the Fisher House and your family's decision to launch the foundation.
Mm. Well, it's back, I think it was after the first Gulf War. Obviously, the casualty rate wasn't anywhere near what it was when we launched the OEF, OIF. But mm-hmm. there was still a need. People don't realize, I think, the general public, the civilians that have never served or have never really talked to anybody that served, don't understand that just because you wear the uniform doesn't mean you don't need hospitalization because you're sick or you're injured, say in a training accident or something like that. Mm-hmm. People think that people in uniform get wounded in battle and that's how they need hospitalization, and obviously that's not the case. So mm-hmm. it was brought to my uncle's attention by the then wife of the chief of naval operations. Her name was Pauline Trost. She was visiting Bethesda one day and came upon a family that basically ran into the lobby and dropped their luggage and ran up to the hospital room. And when she could get a moment with them, she asked them what was going on. And the answer was that, you know, they could not afford a hotel room for any length of time. And they had a loved one receiving treatment at Bethesda. And so Zach, instead of sitting back and acknowledging that there was a problem and saying, well, that's something the government needs to do, Zach understood where he stood, you know, in relation to the issue. Zach was a real estate developer. Zach had access to architects. And Zach said, quite frankly, this is a problem I can solve. So without hesitation, the first couple of houses were built with money from Zach's own pocket. I believe it was Bethesda, Walter Reed in those days, Brooke Army Medical Center, and Joint Base Lewis-McChord. And then they kind of, you know, started to pop up, you know, at select hospitals around the country, wherever the needs were the greatest. We formed a public-private partnership with the government. Mm-hmm. The government donates the land to Fisher House. We build the house, regardless of the size. There's different sizes of design that we use. And then we donate it back to the government, back to whichever branch it will serve. So we had started this massive public-private partnership, and really at the time of Zach's passing felt that we had no choice but to keep this going, that it had impacted so many lives to begin with. And then as obviously as 9/11 happened, we knew that the demand for this kind of housing was going to grow. So for us, it was a very easy decision. It was basically we had to do what we had to do. And out of this came other initiatives as well. So, you know, it's kind of not only just started as a desire to carry on a legacy, but it grew not only into my passion, but also led to other initiatives using this public-private partnership as a foundation.
That is a fantastic history. Brittany, I was just going to jump in. And Ken, we're getting a little bit of feedback from your line, so I don't know if there's wind or static or something, but just wanted to let you know from that end. So I'll let my cohort, Brittany, take it away. And okay, yeah, no
How's
problem.
That?
I'll let Brittany. Much better. It sounds great. Go ahead, Brittany.
Okay, good.
Okay, well, I mean, what you do is absolutely amazing, and there's countless lives and family members of those people who greatly benefit from what you do, and I just have to say thank you so much for that. And what I would like to know is, you know, what are some of the more kind of specific resources that the foundation offers to military members and veterans and their families?
Well, the foundation, you know, had to resist a lot of temptation to grow in areas that were not related to the family. And we didn't do that. We stayed in our lane. And because of that, when we did evolve, when we did grow, we grew in ways that would be supportive of military and veteran families, not doing something that had no relationship at all and wasting resources and valuable money that we obviously needed. So we formed it was actually Mary Jo Myers, the wife of the former chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, that helped us start a program called Hero Miles. And Hero Miles is basically a program where people can donate unused frequent flyer miles to us, and we will in turn buy tickets, airline tickets, for family members to go back and forth. The government, as we know, does it one time. But families don't come to their lives and their issues don't come to a grinding halt because a loved one is in the hospital. They need to go back and forth. They need, first of all, they need respite. They need a break. They need rest. They need to heal themselves. In so many cases, they're the primary health care advocate, which is a great deal of responsibility in and of itself. And bills need to be paid. So Hero Miles helps family members go back and forth. In addition, we have a program called Hotels for Heroes. It's basically the same concept, but instead of airline tickets, people can donate their unused credit card points. We can now buy with participating brands. We can offer families a hotel room for no charge if there's no fishing house at that hospital at the time, or it's full, which is in many cases the case, that the houses do get full. So we're able to offer lodging to families at no charge, just not in the Fisher House at that time. So that's what the hotel programs do. We also have three scholarship programs. We've got one for military children that we administer for the Defense Commissary Agency. We offer one for military spouses, which I think is applicable to tonight's episode, where if a spouse wants to go back to school, they can do that. And in a lot of cases, if a loved one is deployed, it helps kind of offset a little bit of the uncertainty of what's going on over there. And we also have, this one was interesting because President Obama and Mrs. Obama were so supportive of the foundation, as were the Bushes. And President Obama made a book called Of the I Sing, which was actually focused on 13 historical figures that he wrote for his daughters. that actually turned into a book that was sold. And we were receiving the after-tax profits for that for the sale of each book, and we used that to start a scholarship program for it's called our legacy program for the children of anyone who has not made it home or is 100% disabled. So our scholarship programs are something that have flourished through the years they've grown, and we're very proud of the scholarship programs we've given out. I'm actually a little bit deficient on my statistics, but it's probably close to $15 to $20 million worth of scholarship.
Oh, wow.
So it's those in itself have become very significant. So those are the major things that we do. And as I said before, we stay in our lane. Our core mission is lodging, but really it's about family, and that's where we stay. One other thing we did, which I'm very proud of, was we've been involved with the family programs of the Warrior Games that occur each year. Each branch of the service carries on. Are you familiar with the Warrior Games?
Yes, I am.
The Warrior Games, we sponsored the family programs, and one year, I believe it was 2011, Prince Harry came over, who himself is a two-time combat veteran. And he loved what he saw. He loved the camaraderie. He loved everything about the Warrior Games and what they represented, and he wanted to make them international. So for all of the allied nations that fought either in OEF or OIF, he made it an international event and called it the Invictus Games. I was the chairman of the 2016 Invictus Games that we put on at Disney World in Orlando. So that's been quite a ride. But it also is a family-oriented thing. When we see families, we see them very early in the process. When their lives have been turned upside down, there's a lot of stress, a lot of uncertainty, and a lot of uncertainty as far as how they're going to survive over that period of hospitalization. When we get involved in the adaptive sporting programs, we see families now celebrating their loved ones' recovery, and it's been a long, long road in so many cases, and it's nice to be a part of seeing smiles and, you know, and kind of interacting with families that are now in a celebration mode rather than a stress mode or a grieving one.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm really glad you kind of, like, follow through with, you know, the additional sporting programs. So that's really important to see that, you know, you have the families back throughout the entire process. So recently we've heard that you've opened two Fisher Homes in the Bronx in New York.
Mm-hmm.
So can you just quickly tell us a little bit about the specialty work that the Bronx VA is known for and how the Fisher House is playing a role in that?
Well, in case you didn't notice, I'm from the Bronx. I'm from New York. I don't know if you can tell from my accent or not, but those houses were very special to me. We built them about a mile and a half, 2 miles from where I grew up. So they were very, very special to me personally. The work that's being done at the VA, the Peters VA, in the Kingsbridge section of the Bronx, has been groundbreaking. The work in exoskeleton research and seeing paralyzed veterans now able to walk using this exoskeleton apparatus that they have is really unbelievable. They do a great deal in renal care and post-traumatic stress, traumatic brain injury, and so forth. This is a hospital whose work has gone pretty much unnoticed throughout the years. And if Fisher House did anything positive besides taking care of the families, it's maybe putting some of the light on some of the great work that our military and veteran doctors are actually doing.
Well, Ken, this all sounds really like just such a powerful mission. Like I said, I knew about the Fisher Houses before our interview tonight, but I truly had no idea the scope of the Fisher House Foundation. So we do need to take a super quick break, but when we come back, we'd love to hear more about everything that the Fisher House Foundation is doing to support our military members and also how our listeners can get involved.
Great.
Listeners, be sure to stay tuned. We'll hear more about the Fisher House Foundation with our guest, Ken Fisher, when we return with more Army Wife Talk Radio in just a moment.
Hi, I'm Stephanie Abdullah, and on behalf of the Army Surgeon General, this is your Army Medicine, Be As Healthy As You Can Be, Health Minute. The Group B Streptococcus, or GBS, is a type of bacterial infection found in pregnant women. The infection can cause significant morbidity and mortality in infants after birth, such as early onset sepsis and meningitis. The greatest risk factor for neonatal infection is colonization with the bacteria in pregnant moms. About 10 to 30% of pregnant women are colonized. The Centers for Disease Control published guidelines for prevention in 2010, which include screening pregnant women for colonization in their third trimester. Antibiotic therapy for colonized mothers is highly effective. Penicillin is the antibiotic of choice. Cefazolin is recommended for women allergic to penicillin. Improved awareness, screening, and treatment can help to prevent cases of early onset GBS. Talk to your OBGYN for more information. Army Medicine, one team, one purpose, conserving the fighting strength since 1775.
Want to expand your military spouse information arsenal? ArmyWifeNetwork.com offers military family news and resources, experience and expert blogs, active social media, and much, much more. Visit ArmyWifeNetwork.com. Your interactive empowerment for Army Wives by Army Wives.
Welcome back to the show. We're talking with Fisher House Foundation Chairman and CEO, Ken Fisher. Ken, before we went to break, you were sharing with us Fisher House's foundation specialty work with your two new homes in Bronx, New York, which is where you're originally from. So let's go ahead and continue that conversation to discuss other ways the foundation is giving back. Tell us about the world's largest golf outing and how the foundation is involved.
Well, we've been very fortunate to get a great deal of support nationally from places that we really didn't expect. And one of them was through an organization called Billy Casper Golf that every year for, I think was the last couple of years, had decided to put on what they call the world's largest golf outing, which consists of several courses that participate in this around the nation. And so each course holds its own kind of an outing. And Fisher House is one of the benefactors this year of that golf tournament. It's a great privilege to be associated with it. We're so dependent on donated dollars that, you know, getting an opportunity such as this one is so important. It helps us not only get the word out, but also raises some badly needed money. So that we can maximize our impact around the country and the world.
So we've discussed some of the logistics and activities regarding the Fisher House Foundation, but tell us, from your perspective as chairman and CEO, what do you believe is most special about Fisher House Foundation?
Well, I think the most important thing that I'm so proud of is I think the fact that we've been able to shine a light on the plight of the military and veteran family. I think that's something that has been critical. So many people around this nation see men and women in uniform, and lessons learned from the past are much more supportive of our men and women in uniform. They go up and they'll say, thank you for your service. My children used to do it without me having to tell them to. But we kind of feel as though thank you for your service is just not enough. And, you know, it's up to this country to kind of not only recognize the sacrifices and the service on behalf of people in this country. But they need to show their appreciation with deeds, and I think that's something that's critical. That thank you for your service does a lot for the men and women in uniform, but they don't really ask about the families, what's going on with their families, the plight of the family themselves who also serve. So I think we're very proud of the fact that, we've been able to kind of shine a light on the issues associated with military families and veterans' families. And then, of course, there's the impact of the foundation itself over the 30 years. We're about $400 million in savings in terms of lodging and travel and the other programs that we oversee. It has resulted in some $407 million in total savings, and I think it's somewhere around 370,000 total guest families. So the impact has been huge, but quite frankly, it's something I'm proud of, but it's something that now that I'm involved in, I can't imagine my life without it. It has taught me so many lessons myself, who didn't know. I didn't wear the uniform. I came of age shortly after Vietnam. But it has taught me the meaning of service and the meaning of sacrifice. Tammy, my wife, and my children are also involved and very supportive, and it's taught them too. It's taken us to some very interesting places, and we've met some very interesting people. But at the end of the day, you know, the 34,000 families that will benefit from the program this year, or the 1,200 plus families that will sleep safely somewhere in a Fisher House somewhere around the world tonight, is something I think I'm most proud of.
Oh, wow. That's really awesome to hear. And the Fisher House's motto is, "Family's love is the best medicine." So could you just maybe give us an example of how you've seen that firsthand?
Well, just take the family programs that we're involved with either the Warrior Games or the Invictus Games. All of these families played a role in their loved ones' recovery. And, you know, when you think about, and this is the way I explain it to people who are not aware of the service and sacrifice, I ask them, quite frankly, how would you feel if you were in the hospital and your family couldn't afford to visit you? So, you know, it becomes very easy to let people know what's going on. And, you know, so the family's love is the best medicine of all is the absolute truth. We've seen it firsthand. We've walked into hospital rooms, my wife and I, and we've interacted with family members and so forth, and the impact that it has. I remember seeing an interview on our website about a serviceman who had been wounded through an IED blast, and he was kind of learning how to walk again. And he, you know, there were days he didn't want to get out of bed. There were days there was a lot of pain, but the fact that his children were there, his son and his daughter, to watch him and to push him, you know, made it easier for him to get out of bed and get back into the grind. And I think that says it all. Just having your family there to motivate you. And also it's important for the family to be involved in the process too, because in the cases of post-traumatic stress and traumatic brain injury, they need to be educated on what to look for and how they might be able to help at least in the beginning. And how to get treatment, how to get help. And that's just as important. But it all starts with family, and that's why this foundation was formed.
Well, I think you do a great service to the world, helping and healing people in need. And I'm sure a lot of our listeners tonight are wondering how they could help to support the Fisher House and your mission. So can you let us know how people can support your mission?
Sure. The best way to do that would be to go to fisherhouse.org. That's our website. And it'll tell you different things, different ways to get involved, whether you want to volunteer potentially at a house that might be near you. By the way, both active duty and VA hospitals. There's other ways to be involved, donations and so forth, but at the end of the day, the website kind of takes you down that direction and will show you different ways to get involved. It's a great website. I'm very proud of it. So I encourage you know, your listeners to check it out and see.
Okay, and I know you just mentioned the website, so can you please mention that one more time, and as as any other places people can go to listen and to learn about the foundation?
Yeah, it's www.fisherhouse.org.
And are there any other ways to connect to the foundation?
Well, I would say, you know, on a local basis, you know, that's the website of the home office, the national office. You know, the locations of the Fisher Houses, be it at VA or active duty hospital, they have their own Fisher Houses. You can go in and talk to the managers, learn a little bit more about what happens in the house. One of the things that you'll find is that there's a support system that forms in the houses, that the families will support each other. Each house becomes its own community. That starts with, and that's, by the way, very, very valuable because it provides the families a chance to heal emotionally as well because they realize they're not alone. But you'd be part of that, get involved with the Fisher House management, so forth. And, you know, I promise you, if you do, you know, it will have an effect on you. It will change you. It has certainly done that for me, and it's done that for my wife. And I don't think we can imagine our lives without servicemen and women and their families and veterans and their families being a part of our lives. So
it is such a great way to give back. And you're so right, Ken, about how it will change your life, because you get to come alongside a family that is going through truly what is probably one of the worst seasons of their life. You know, whether that is, you know, and you mentioned in your interview, the people that stay in Fisher House aren't only, you know, the combat wounded. It's just like military families. One of our former AWTR or an AWN teammates, our core team, her son, just a year ago, was the victim of an arson or arsonist, and five of his roommates died in the apartment fire, and he was burned over 69% of his body. And they have been staying in the Fisher House at Brooke Army Medical Center in San Antonio for a year now. And the only way they've been able to stay there and support Zach through his extensive recovery is because the Fisher House was there to provide them a refuge in truly the hardest season of their life. So I just want to say,
that is what it is. It's a refuge.
It's a refuge.
Yeah.
And it's such a great opportunity that you're providing, but you also, you know, invite others to come alongside and bring meals or clean or offer prayer and support and just the logistics of things, you know, doing laundry. Those are things that you don't even think about when, you know, someone's fighting for their life or someone had a preterm baby and their husband was deployed. So thank you for all that you do, and we wish you all the best as you all continue to grow the Fisher House Foundation and continue to deepen that legacy. I know several military families who've personally benefited from your team's service and generosity. So thank you so much for joining us tonight, Ken.
Well, thank you for having me, and I wish you all the best.
Thanks.
Okay.
Tonight's show was brought to you by our AWTR show sponsor, One Natural Way. One Natural Way has helped thousands of military families throughout their breastfeeding journey. See how they can help you by visiting www.onenaturalway.com. That is spelled with the number one. And you can get started today.
Listeners, thank you so much for being with us tonight. Be sure to tune in next week, Monday, August 5th, 2019, when Joe Moongai, publisher of Family Magazine, will be sharing all about this magazine, which is the magazine for military families. It's going to be another empowering show. You don't want to miss it.
And in the meantime, you can join us on armywifenetwork.com to stay connected to resources, information, expert columnists, and share the journey with many of our experienced contributors. Or follow along on our social media outlets such as Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, and Instagram.
We are your interactive empowerment for Army Wives by Army Wives. This is Army Wife Network's core team, signing out.
Thank you for tuning into Army Wife Talk Radio. The views and opinions expressed in our show are personal. Army Wife Talk Radio is in no way affiliated with the Department of Defense or any other branch of the armed services. And inclusion in our show does not reflect endorsement by the DOD, any local government, or their agencies. Until the next episode, head over to armywifenetwork.com. Your interactive empowerment for Army Wives by Army Wives.